It's good when the people of God dwell in unity, when they work with compassion, both for each other and for the good of the kingdom, knowing that the kingdom is more important than any single one of us. Part of living a victorious Christian life is living a life in a constant state of thankfulness. There are many reasons that are both spiritual and practical. David points out in Psalm 100 that thankfulness is a prerequisite for biblical worship, but more than that, thanksgiving is a weapon in the Christian's arsenal against the sin of pride, against works righteousness. When we come together for worship each week and we give thanks through our tithes and offerings, what we're essentially saying is that we recognize the fact that the blessings we receive in this life were and still are the property of God. They are His resources that He allows to fall into our custody, things that He expects us to use and to manage well for the sake of His kingdom. So any time that we receive the blessings of provision, it's our responsibility to be obedient, to make sure that they go to His purposes as commanded in, among other places, Malachi 3:8, where the Word of God tells us and the prophet reminds the people of God, when he talks of divine worship, he asks, "Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me." But then you ask, "How are we robbing God?" In tithes and offerings. So thanksgiving involves a recognition that our blessings are from God and they're still God's property. Worship, the thanksgiving through giving, is also a way of holding to the promise of God in Philippians 4:19, where Paul writes of the Philippians' faithfulness in giving to the work of the ministry, and he adds the words, "My God will meet all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." By the giving of our blessings, by returning them back to God, we ensure the blessings of others in ministry, and we also acknowledge that there's a paradox in Christian life. The fact that even through our generosity, God is still faithful to supply our needs. You can't outgive God. I know it's a cliche in many churches, but it's the truth. If you are faithful in your giving of the abundance of what God has given you, then you are promised. Malachi actually talks of God telling the people of God, "Test me on this. If you don't believe me, test me on this. Give and give faithfully, and I will reward your generosity." You can't outgive God. Text for today, if you take out your copy of God's Word with me and turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 41. Those who accepted His message were baptized. This is talking about Peter's sermon and the beginning of mass conversions to the Christian faith. Those who accepted His message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common, meaning that their hearts were of one accord. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. This was a united church. This was a church that recognized its purpose and went for it. This was a church that held nothing back. This was a church that won victory over selfishness. It was a church that recognized that all things, even themselves, were the property of God. They broke bread in their homes and ate together, fellowshiped together, with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this season, for the reminder that comes down year after year that we have reason to celebrate, that we have cause to rejoice, that we have a God who loves us, that we have a God who continues to give for us, that we have a God that sees beyond our faults, sees beyond our sins, sees beyond our selfishness. And still, if we only cling to you, you supply our needs according to your riches and glory. We know that you are a faithful God. A God who not only never leaves nor forsakes your children, but never slumbers nor sleeps for the sake of their care. So we thank you and we praise you for your faithfulness. We ask that you would teach us as well to be faithful, to be Christ-like. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've all seen the challenges online, on social media, and from the occasional email to be thankful, to take the entire month of November and to list one thing every day that we're grateful for, to count your many blessings, as the old song says. There's even a common prayer request that we hear spoken, we've heard spoken for several generations, that asks for God to make us truly grateful. Now, I've got to confess that when I was growing up, I didn't like the sound of that, because in the back of my mind, what I saw was the disciplinarians of my family going, "Why are you ungrateful, little?" You know, make us truly grateful to me meant an authority figure that was kind of angry. Like we were basically asked God to play the role of an angry parent. But in a lot of ways, the image of God I developed growing up was kind of puritanical. And it probably didn't help that the people that usually prayed that quote were, in fact, those disciplinarians. But make us truly grateful isn't a way of asking for divine punishment. It's the people of God asking to become more like the image of His Son, to be transformed from the heart. In other words, it's like praying that God would dispel all the pride and sense of mine, like a little kid going through the terrible twos where he rips through the parents' home and digs through the drawers and says, "Mine, mine, 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 mine." There's some habits that some people just don't grow out of. But to make us truly grateful means to ask God to come into our hearts and to dispel all of that so that we recognize our place in the kingdom, so that we recognize His place in our hearts, and that we recognize who the true owner of creation is. To heal the brokenness of pride, so that when we approach in prayer, when we approach in celebration of Thanksgiving, we remember the fact that we are not property owners, but property stewards. That our possessions and our well-being, every day we live, is a gift of God with a purpose. Gifts are intended to be used for our good and the good of others, not for overindulgence or to trigger in others a sense of jealousy. Our property, our energy, our knowledge, our time, our strength, our giftedness, our family and our church, all of it, even ourselves, ultimately belongs to God for the purpose of building His kingdom on earth and putting His love on display to others so that they would get curious, so that they would wonder what the difference is between you and everybody else, and ultimately lead that person to a conversation where God will rescue them from the clutches of the enemy. It's one reason why developing a mindset of thanksgiving is invaluable for a victorious Christian life. When we cease to remember the dynamics of ownership, we open ourselves to the snare of pride and all the hypocrisy that flows from it. We displace God's ownership, thinking that the ultimate beneficiary of our possessions is us. In other words, in our hearts, we put ourselves on the throne and not God off. Without God on the throne and the certainty of His provision, we open ourselves to the anxiety of not knowing if we have enough, not knowing if tomorrow is certain. And so we begin hoarding behaviors in a vain attempt to turn our banks, turn our wallets, and our homes into a fortress. The Bible has a word for that: greed. When we look across the street at the other way the families are remodeling or decorating, having the newest car, the latest gadget, the most expensive suit, when we see that long enough, we develop another form of anxiety that's centered on missing out. With ourselves on the throne and with
the sufficiency of God gone and our insufficiency on full display. Even if we aren't rich, we'll do anything within our power to look rich. The Bible has a word for that too. Jealousy. We run to the bank and tout our payment history, and instead of being grateful for what we have, we buy things we don't really need with money that doesn't exist. And ensure that we can never truly be grateful because we develop a habit of putting ourselves into a panic attack whenever the next iPhone model gets announced. I don't want to be called out for iPhone idolatry. I don't know about you, but that would be awfully weird. But it's nonetheless prevalent. At least on a subconscious level, the soul is aware that without God, we are insufficient. We can't take care of ourselves on our own, much less our families. Without God's provision and wisdom, we trap ourselves in a cycle of desperation, debt, and depression. The anxiety takes over, robbing us of our joy. The desperation puts us in a near constant state of running in circles, distracted from the things that really matter, stealing us away from our families, our church, and our God. And finally, the enemy gets what he's after is depression, ultimately sends the believer into a catatonic state, if you think about it. If it's true that all that evil needs in order to succeed is for good people to do nothing, then the enemy wins the battle. Because he sends us into a sense of spiritual paralysis. The good person does nothing because they're defeated and ashamed, swallowed by a pit that we dig for ourselves. No longer with the will to stand and be counted as an active part of the kingdom of God. But that's not the life that God's intended for us. It's not the life that he's called us to. It's a trap of the enemy that we can be pulled out of. A landmine that we can see well in advance because a life spent with God at the center, with a heart that is truly aware of his provision, his mercy, and his authority, that kind of a life looks a whole lot different. To pray that we become truly grateful is to pray for a Christ-like heart. It's to pray that we live in both an awareness of God's sufficiency and his faithfulness in meeting our needs. Maybe a clearer way of saying it is to pray that when we say thank you to God, we stand in full awareness of what that thank you truly means. Take out your copy of God's Word again with me and go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. In this passage, Paul is telling the church of Philippi that he is grateful for their selfless giving, for their contributing to his ministry, as well as the ministerial relief of people all over the world. A conjunctive effort. Starting with verse 10, the apostle writes, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I have learned to know God well enough to live in simplicity. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ. He claims that promise yet again. Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of our acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. It's a harsh set of words to hear coming from an apostle. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I want you to be holy. I want you to be Christ-like. I want you to have the heart that Christ has. I want you to be able to live in God's will because you want to live in God's will. I I desire more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I've received from Ephrodites the gifts that you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And here's the promise. If you don't have this underlined or highlighted in your Bible, do so now. And my God, speaking of their giving, speaking of their generosity, speaking of the fact that they held nothing back and gave to the apostle and his ministry, my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And he does this to what? To the God and the Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. With thankfulness, we can go boldly and claim the truth that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Because we spend time mentally recalling all the episodes in our lives where he had loved us through our problems, where he provided for our needs, and gave us the strength to endure hardships of living in a fallen world. With thankfulness, we hold firm to the fact that God is on the throne, that in God's sovereign will for us, he has chosen to begin a work of transformation in our will, and through our obedience, place his might on our side. And through remembering that God is a faithful God, we open ourselves to a life that is full of obedience because we recognize that it's the only kind of life worth living. As Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. With thankfulness, we can afford to be generous with our giving and devoted to our work for the kingdom, not only presenting our tithes of money, but also presenting tithes of time, imagination, talent, wisdom, service, hospitality, work, knowledge. By giving ourselves to the kingdom, holding nothing back, not taping off a section of our life and saying this far, no farther. If you're a child of God, then it's all his. Resources and skills from the storehouse of his abundance, his faithfulness. We can be generous because we don't have to worry about where our next meal is coming from. We know with certainty that God provides. With thanksgiving, we don't have to keep up with the Joneses because we know when enough is enough. When to be good stewards by saving, by honoring our debts, by finding a peace and simplicity that eradicates the depression of having to play catch up every time the neighbors run themselves into bankruptcy and not fall into that trap that consumes so many families because to them appearance was more important than family. Pride goeth before a fall. Buying the next biggest thing isn't worth sacrificing a meal for your kids or putting yourself in so much debt that maybe you're not consumed today, but it's coming. But through God, by relying on him, by understanding as Paul did that I'm contented in all things, we're freed from that. With thanksgiving, we can heed the words of promise. When Paul writes to us that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. With God on the throne and thanksgiving in our hearts, fear is dispelled. Anxiety is answered and peace reigns in our minds because we know that God is faithful. Something that's different about our religions from all others is that we know for a fact that we have a God who delights in making and keeping his promises to his children. The people of God have always known that thanksgiving is central to who we are. Thankfulness and worship brings joy to the heart of God as we recognize who he is and praise him for the unlimited depths of his love. For us, being thankful cleanses our hearts and enables us to overcome our battles with sin. Victorious against pride, greed, jealousy, and idolatry. It also frees us to recognize our blessings and gives us the liberty to be able to bless others. Not just on this day, or on this week, or on this month, but every day that we come into the house of God. we should remember and be thankful to our Heavenly Father, who revealed His love through the giving of His only begotten Son, who taught us, who died for us, who lives on and in us today, equips us eternally through the Holy Spirit. We should praise God for the fellowship of the church, where we can hear the good news proclaimed, receive our Redeemer's love, and receive the strength we need for a victorious life. We should bless God for our nation and those who have worked to make it a place where we can live, where we can grow, and where we can worship in freedom. We should praise God for our families who sustain us, who unconditionally love us, and who enrich our lives. It is right that every time that we enter into the presence of God for worship, for fellowship, for ministry, or for prayer, that we enter His gates with thanksgiving in our hearts, and we enter His courts in praise. And all God's people said, there are times that life gets in the way. There are those times in our lives when we don't really see the will of God in our lives, or we don't experience the call into worship because we see the stuff that gets in the way. For some, the stuff can be a new car. For some, the stuff can be what's sitting in our bank accounts. For some of us, the stuff can be what someone else has that we wish that we had. Thanksgiving is antithetical to jealousy. Thanksgiving is antithetical to idolatry. Thanksgiving is antithetical to pride. Thanksgiving undoes it, because we remember who we belong to. We remember who provides, knowing that He provides. And there's a joy in that. There is a freedom from want, freedom from hopelessness, freedom from despair, because we know our Redeemer lives and we know that He loves us. If there's anyone here today that's lost that sense of joy, that sense of hope, that sense of knowing, we open up this time of invitation. If anyone would like to renew that, come forward. Know with certainty that God is here. If anyone has not, to this point in their lives, claimed Christ, the forgiveness that He brings, and the joy that is yours eternally, come forward, receive that, and know that it's a blessing that can never be taken away. Whatever the need is, whatever burdens the hearts of those before me, come forward, lay it down, and know that God hears your prayer.